it's been a while, hasn't it?
So,
today I'm back with a very special episode because I'll be talking about deep reading. So what is deep reading? Well, Marianne Wolf describes it as a slow, immersive and reflective process we engage in when we read challenging texts. I should say when we read texts. It's not only about decoding words. Decoding words is like step one, but there's so much more to it. We are making connections, analyzing meaning and reflecting on implications. So deep reading is a process that takes place when we read on paper. And this is crucial, especially nowadays when we have popcorn brain, unfortunately, right? We've been exposed to social media all the time. We read on the screen. Deep reading is different. So deep reading engages multiple areas of the brain simultaneously. The visual cortex processes letters and words. Temporal lobe deciphers meaning and phonological patterns, and prefrontal cortex evaluates, analyzes, and connects ideas to broader concepts. But here's the kicker. Deep reading is not in it. It's a skill we develop and refine over time, and in today's digital world, it is under a threat. In the research, and I will link the research in the episode description, there is a alarming trend. Our reading habits are shifting towards skimming and scanning digital content. We lose the neurological pathways essential for deep reading. So we often multitask, right? We scroll through the headlines, we switch in between the tabs, checking notifications. These habits condition us to process information superficially, sacrificing comprehension and critical thinking. It's called biliterate dilemma. So while the digital brain excels at quick, surface-level reading, it struggles with sustained attention for deep reading. This impacts not only our intellectual capacity, but also emotional depth, the ability to empathize with others and understand complex ideas. So why deep reading matters? So Marianne Wolf argues that it's essential for cultivating critical thinking, empathy, and creativity. When we read deeply, we enter like a time-out space. We can slow down, we can reflect. The space allows us to engage with ideas more profoundly, consider it from different perspectives. It's where the seeds of information, ethical decision, and human connections are sown. In studies, it has shown that people who read fiction regularly are better at understanding others' emotions. This is because deep reading activates areas associated with empathy, such as default mode network and Instagram. And now if we want to get practical, right, because, you know, we can talk about philosophies and research is important, so is philosophy, but we need practicality, we live on the go. So first of all, multitasking is not a gift, and multitasking is not a skill. When you multitask, your attention is shallower, so I would not encourage you to multitask. On the other hand, I would discourage you from multitasking. But what are the practical strategies? Create distraction-free reading space. Designate a time for reading without interruption. Choose challenging texts. And this is like when I'm saddened when I learn that kids at schools in some places of the world, they do not read a lot of fiction, unfortunately, and that they do not read classics. So I should say, if you're a parent or a teacher, choose texts that are a little bit challenging for your child or for your student to create and build those deep reading pathways. Annotate and reflect. I cannot recommend post-it notes enough. My desk is full of post-it notes. I'm jotting down ideas, I'm noting, I'm highlighting my books, not in books, so not to worry. Read aloud or listen to audiobooks because you can hear the text as you follow along, which enhances comprehension and retention. Model deep reading for your students, parents. So demonstrate the value of deep reading. Just read. If your children can see you reading, right? If it also can lead to meaningful discussions, so you can read together. You can, for example, share the books with your offspring at school. And now this is for EFL teacher. If you are working with students, well, not A1, but let's say A2, you can choose a text that's still a little bit more challenging in terms of lexicon, for example. I once created a B2 course for my students where I adapted New Yorker short stories for them. Not the whole text, just paragraphs, and we worked in vocabulary, we created semantic maps. So that's another task. And as a parent, do not feel ashamed if, for example, your kids are not into reading fiction books. It's okay, you can choose graphic novels. Just start small, start with little steps, and see where it takes you. As I close today's episode, I cannot stop but reflect on a powerful quote. We are what we read. So keep on reading, my friends. Keep on reading. Incorporate reading on paper. Let's start with 10-15 minutes a day. It doesn't have to be much. And see what changes. See you soon and talk to you next time. Bye.